Chapter 49. It is my final day in London before returning to Spence. Grandmama has agreed to send Father to a sanitarium for a rest. Tomorrow she will leave for the country and a rest of her own. The house is a flurry of servants covering furniture with sheets. Trunks are packed, wages are settled. London is emptying its fashionable houses until April and the season. Tonight we are to dine one last time with Simon and his family, but first I've two calls to make. He is surprised to see me. When I sweep into his room through the little door behind the drape he once showed me and pull the hood from my face with bold fingers, he stands softly at attention, like a child awaiting either the strap or a kiss of forgiveness. What I've brought is not quite either. It is my own compromise.
"You remembered,"
he says. I remembered.
"Gemma, Miss Doyle, I..."
Three gloved fingers is all it takes to silence him. I shall be brief. There is work to be done. I could do with your help, if you are willing to offer it freely and without obligation to another. You cannot serve both our friendship and the Rakshana. His smile catches me unawares. It flutters about the soft bows of his lips, a broken bird unsure where to settle, and then the dark eyes fill with tears that he blinks away with a desperate concentration. He clears his throat.
"It seems a necessary point that I am no longer wanted by the Rakshana. Therefore, it may do your cause no favour, being championed by one so disgraced."
"It shall have to do, I suppose. We are rather a ragtag crew." His eyes clear, his voice strengthens. He nods to no one in particular. "It seems you've changed your destiny after all," I say.
"Unless it was my fate to do so,"
he responds, smiling. "Well then," I say, pulling my hood forward again. I am nearly to the door unscathed, but he cannot keep from saying one last thing.
"And allegiance to the Order? Is that the only fealty you require of me?"
Why does this one question have the power to push the breath from me? "Yes," I whisper, without turning around. "That is all." In a rustle of velvet and silk, I am through the door, trailing the scent of juniper, the silence, and a shadow of a whisper. "For now." Miss Macleady's rooms are in Lambeth, not far from Bethlehem Royal. "May I come in?" I ask. She lets me in with a pretense of friendliness.
"Miss Doyle, to what do I owe this surprise visit?"
"I've two questions for you. One concerns Mrs. Nightwing, the other, the Order."
"Go on,"
she says, settling into a chair. "Is Mrs. Nightwing among our number?"
"No, she is simply a friend."
"But you quarrelled at the Christmas party, and again in the East Wing."
"Yes, about repairing the damage to the East Wing. I argued that it was time to rebuild, but Lillian is so very frugal."
"But she accepted you as Claire Macleady, though that is not your real name."
"I told her I had taken a new name to escape a love affair gone wrong. That is something she understands, and that is all there is to it. What is your other question?"
I cannot be sure if she is telling me the truth or not. I move on. "Why has the Order never shared its power?" She fixes me with that unsettling glare.
"It is ours to have. We fought for it, sacrificed and shed blood for it."
"But you've hurt others as well. You've denied them any chance to have a part of the magic, to have a say."
"I promise you, they'd do the same. We look out for ourselves. This is the way of things."
"It is an ugly business," I say.
"Power is,"
she says, without regret.
"I was not happy when you left me with the Rakshana, but I understand that you thought I was Cersei. It is of no consequence now. You kept Cersei from the temple and the magic. You have done well. Now we can re-establish the Order with our sisters and..."
"I think not," I say. Miss Macleady's mouth wants to smile.
"What?"
"I am forging new alliances. Felicity, Anne, Kartik from the Rakshana, Felon of the Forest, Asha the Untouchable." She shakes her head.
"You can't be serious." The power must be shared. No, that is forbidden. We don't know if they can be trusted with the magic.
No, we don't. We shall need to have good faith. Miss MacLeody fumes.
Absolutely not. The order must remain pure.
That's worked out well, hasn't it? I say with as much venom as I can muster. When she sees that she is getting nowhere, Miss MacLeody changes course, speaking to me as gently as a mother soothing an anxious child.
You may try to join hands with them, but chances are it won't work. The realm's guide who shall become part of the order. We have no power over that. That is the way it has always been.
She attempts to stroke my hair, but I break away. Things change, I say, taking my leave. Abandoning decorum, Miss MacLeody calls after me from her window.
Do not make enemies of us, Miss Doyle. We shall not give up our power so easily.